I hope you guys are ready, because I had 13 Dr. Peppers before recording this episode, so we are amped up and ready to go.
Oh, boy.
How are you not dead?
Well, okay, that's a lie. I had 15 Dr. Peppers, and 16 is the one that kills you.
Yeah, they say it on every can.
It says it right here.
Legally, you should not consume.
You would think it's
16.
You think it's 23 because that's on there, but that's the 23 flavors.
But John,
23 flavors.
But it's a doctor. It's a Dr. Pepper. It's obviously healthy.
He has to abide by, you know, all of the.
This isn't no Mr. Pip, all right.
Dude, I remember when I used to think like energy drinks were awesome. I did think it was really weird when it was like set on the can. It's like, really, don't drink more than two of these a day. It's like, why would a company like want me to buy less of their product? Oh, maybe they're just fucking horrible for you.
Also, legally, you know, because some people have zero restraint when it comes to drinking them.
Hey, you guys remember when Four Loko was, actually killed somebody?
I know the stories.
Yes. Oh, man.
Four Loko is what God used to cull the weak.
And then they got re-released, and they're like, okay, we took a lot of the caffeine out of it because it gave people heart attacks.
Yeah, the amount of Four Loko jet fuel pumping through my veins during all-night Smash Brothers tournaments was good time of my life.
Yep.
I'm surprised you remember it.
It was amazing.
He remembers every bit of it. So I have a fun little icebreaker game for us today. So I don't remember where I learned this, but it's a very fun game that you can. Maybe you've seen it on social media, but it's really funny. So what it is that I'm going to say a superpower of whatever kind, and then the next person in line will talk about the drawback of that power. Okay, the drawback can be anything. It doesn't have to be something related to that. It could just be a drawback of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I saw this floating around the thread.
Okay, so probably seeing this, it's very fun, and I think it would be very fun for us to just try to make it as horrible as possible for each superpower that we come up with.
Nice.
So here's what I'll do. I will say the superpower for me first, and then mm-hmm. whoever wants to go after that, and then. The next person will say their superpower, you know, and we'll go in turn. But you will get me at the end giving you the worst. Whoever goes last, before me, I should say, mm-hmm. is going to have given me their superpower, and then they have to deal with whatever I make the drawback. And I can make it pretty fine. So I'm going to go pretty easy here. Teleportation. So
okay.
Power's teleportation. Drawback is...
The drawback is that every time you enter a room, every time you use the power, you have to then make an excuse as to why you need to leave. So as soon as you get somewhere, you have to make an excuse to whoever's around why you have to go. And then you have to leave.
It's like like opposite vampire rules.
You're not supposed to be here.
Sorry, my grandmother's in the hospital. I gotta go.
You just appeared.
Sorry, I just don't like you.
All right, so Kel, you give a superpower, and then whoever wants to go next, they will do the drawback. Yeah.
I'm gonna go stretchy limbs. So stretchy body.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, Mr. Fantastic kind of thing.
Yep.
There is one day out of every month that you have no control over it. You just are a pool that exists in your house that rolls around.
Is it a random day, or is it a day I can plan on?
Every single month, first day, it's randomly generated, and you don't know what day it is.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, that's even better.
That's even better.
I'm just thinking of, like, one day you go, use your powers, and then all of a sudden your arm doesn't tighten back as it normally would. And you're just like, well...
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Can somebody get a wheelbarrow and take me home?
Please. Please.
This is just unfortunate.
the guy we interviewed today, he just turned into a pile of goo.
I was out bowling with Kel, and he just collapsed into a puddle.
Oh, yeah, that's Kel. Sometimes he turns into goo. All right, my superpower is going to be telekinesis.
Every time you move something, you have to say, "Oop, there it is."
All right, well, I'm instantly a social recluse, never leaving my home.
He's by himself in his house, and you just hear, "There it is."
He's just, and it's just the remote coming to his hand.
Still not that bad.
It was like an apartment building, has like neighbors on either side. Just hear him through the walls all the time.
Just gotta scream it as loud as I can.
Just like banging on the walls. They're just like, just get up and get the fuck yourself.
Actually, that's the caveat. You can't say it. You have to scream.
Right, yeah, you have to be vocal about it. Yeah, you gotta project a bit. Yeah.
They bang on the wall. Get up and get your own shit. I just scream, "I was born a god!" Oops, there it is.
Alright, so Timmy, now you need to do superpower.
My superpower would be, man, I'm just gonna go with super speed.
Oh boy.
You gotta buy a new pair of Yeezys every time you use your power.
Burn right off.
See, he has super speed, but he has no clothing that can withstand the friction, so he just, boom, he's naked all the time.
That's funny. His skin is fine. It's the clothes.
Yeah, it's the clothes. I mean, like, you gotta think with the Flash, he had to get a specific uniform that can withstand the friction.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
But no
yeah.
uniform works. Every uniform is a failure.
Yeah, so here's Tim going like, "You know what? I can save time by running to work," and it's
because if he ever goes long distance, he just ends up completely nude. If it's a short distance, he just shows up and he just has no crotch and no armpits anymore.
Exactly.
Can you imagine that thing going in the wind?
I don't even think it would flap. It would just kind of be like held against him.
Until you hit turbulence, and then just
see, it's either that or the fact because I had two. I was like, either friction or the fact that bugs would be flying into your face the entire time.
Gosh. Right?
That's an inevitability, though. That would just happen.
Let's see,
what type Mark's of, turn.
I know. See, the worst one that I can. I mean, the best one I can think of at the same time is telepathy.
I mean, that's easy.
Hold on.
You literally...
Hold on.
Telepathy has to be aggressive about this.
Yeah. Telepathy, except it only works on raccoons.
I hate those little bastards.
So boring.
You can only communicate telepathically with raccoons.
Just having a normal conversation with a colleague, and all of a sudden you break off and just yell, "I know you want trash!"
I know! I know! I know there's 10 of you!
And also all the raccoons know and constantly follow you around.
Right.
You know, that would inevitably lead to him just becoming a supervillain who trains a raccoon army because he understands them, and what else are you going to do with that power?
I know!
Except for become a raccoon supervillain.
Man, that movie would still be better than Ant-Man.
Oh. Whoa. Well, if we have a movie adaptation, we will definitely be one point higher than Ant-Man, because yesterday's episode was pretty fire. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as stinky as some might say it was. But yesterday, well, not yesterday. We didn't record
last
yesterday.
Week.
Nope. It was last week.
Yeah, Jake, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This isn't the same day, same night, same recording session.
Last week, you guys fought a large creature that goes all the way back to first edition D&D, actually. I always love it when they scale them all the way up to the different editions. So, the Cataoblivus, big, stinky, elk or moose-like creature. I want to point out that Kelly was there for my house today, and he turned to me at one point. He was just like, "I knew that bastard was doing something with the tissues in his nose." I knew what he was doing.
Yeah. The second you mentioned that, I was like, "We're fighting something stinky."
Yeah, yeah. Kendra is about to go find some guy and spank his ass in the town square.
Well, if you want, we can just jump right into it. So,
Grimshaw's got the flames burning, so he's ready.
Okay.
We'll chase this guy down. So, finish the job.
So it's a very small. It's not even like a town. It's mostly just. It's like a family farm. You know what I mean? It's just that they have like a few houses and like a sort of like town center.
You know what this reminds center. Me of? If you're saying that, do you know where Baltimore Corner is?
On the Eastern Shore. Oh no, I don't know. Maybe I do. I just don't recall it.
This is like Baltimore Corner, which it's Baltimore Corner. So you're like, what is this place? And then it's like it has a pizza empire and two houses, and that's it.
Oh,
and then you drive past it, and that's it. And it was like it was on the map for a reason at some point, and then it actually had a post office apparently.
So what's funny is that I Googled it, or I went to Wikipedia, and it says Baltimore Corner is a populated place on the eastern shore of Maryland in Caroline County.
That's a very weird description.
It doesn't say how much.
Is populated with people.
It's real. But then it says not to be confused with Baltimore City, which is a very, very good distinction there.
It is definitely not only populated with shape-shifting lizards.
Mark, because you've been that far on the east coast of Maryland, do you know the town of Star?
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. It's like that. There's like four houses, and that's it.
Or Chesterville.
That's another one. Yeah.
Oh,
gosh. Chesterville, where there's bunkers that were made during the Red Scare. So during that whole time, there's actually nuclear fallout shelters in parts of the area back there.
Whoa.
There's also
some people's houses just have one.
There's also Blue Ball Village in Maryland.
Oh, did you see that terrible map, Kel?
Yep. I looked it up. Blue Ball Village is a real place. Mm-hmm. It's up near the PA line.
Yep.
Oh, there sure is.
Like Butts, Georgia.
Or was it? Is it Intersex, Delaware? Or is it Pennsylvania?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a funny one. Well, this town, I'll tell you, is called Rusty Bucket Farms.
Yeah, Kessler wants to chase down the dude, the Chris Pratt motherfucker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
there's Charles way ahead of you.
Yeah. You still got that 50 feet of like a raptor.
You guys make your way into the very very small collection of buildings here. There's like a silo and a barn, and then there's like one house and two houses, and then there's like some like smaller buildings that are probably used for. Whatever they happen to be doing here. You can tell just from walking up that this looks to be more of a cattle and pig farm. They're not necessarily growing much. They're more about raising livestock. And you get into the center of town and very simple lodgings here. The guy comes out of his house and he sees you all and he goes, "Oh, hey, really sorry about that. It's been a long minute. You guys good?
You're really sorry. Do you see this man behind me?" And he points to Helica. "He almost died. His blood would have been on your hands. What were you doing?"
Q-Elk also down half his hit points, but yeah.
Yeah, and that other guy too, he almost died. But he would have been alright, I think.
Yeah, I would have been fine, but still.
Not me, I was never close to death at any point.
I'm so sorry. We've just had some issues. Here, come inside, I can explain everything. And he sort of points to the porch next to him.
Okay, we'll go.
Real quick, does Helica actually need healing?
Helica is...
He healed himself up.
Well, he healed himself up a bit. I mean, he's missing a few hit points. Let's see. He's missing 7 hit points total. So.
Okay. Well, Benson's going to kind of give him a pat on the back. And it's like, many people have been harmed quite a bit more for the slaying of their first monster. Good job.
Am I a real adventurer now?
You're filling out the paperwork, we'll say.
Ah.
It's an internship.
There are some things that not even I would torture someone with, and that's filling out paperwork.
Bamboo spikes, on the other hand, they're fine.
So as we like, I like take the guys like invitation to go in, but I do double speak to everyone else except Helica doesn't understand this.
Nope.
But he says, thank you for your warm welcome. It is most appreciated. But you know that to mean I don't trust this guy.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Benson will walk up.
All right, so the guy motions to some chairs, and he's like, "Can I get you a drink? Do you need anything? Water, lemonade?
What?
I mean, after that, a lemonade would be delightful.
What's lemonade?
It's the lemon and sugar, water
and water. You don't have citrus fruit where you're from?
I don't know. Would they have lemons in Cantargo? Like, I thought we were like more north.
I mean, imports. I mean,
Cantargo is not like north in the way that it's like. It's not like the north.
Right.
We're like in the Freljord right now.
They have to import everything.
Yeah. No, it's also the Silver City. They're incredibly rich and full of money, so they can import lemons.
They got the lemon drip.
he goes inside and he comes out and he's got some freshly made lemonade. And he's just like, I'm really sorry. We've had some issues. We were honestly, me and my brother, we were trying to lure that creature over. And we knew of the creature. I didn't know what it was called, but I knew the thing was angry. And we went by it once, and it chased us, but it eventually kind of gave off. But we've had some issues with a barn that we were trying to tear down in order to salvage the wood from it. It's a few miles over. He's like, but these things inside of the barn have made it very difficult. And he pulls up his side, and you can see he's got these like vicious gashes like on his side, and you can see he's got one on his shoulder, and he's just like, these like cat things, he's like, they're horrible, but one thing we noticed about them is that they can smell really well, so we thought if we brought that smelly bastard over there, they would just kind of get out of here. But
sir, I can see where you got the idea. That's the dumbest thing you could do in this situation. The fact that you even got away from this thing once is a gift of God that you should not squander. Don't mess with these things.
What's your level?
One.
Oh God! Yes.
You are lucky. Holy shit! All right. So. By the way, Elka at this point, like, he was tempting to, like, do what he normally did, but, like, as soon as he gets close, the smell is just radiating off this thing. He's just like, it's not worth it. Like, but he is bleeding. Like I said, he is down half his hit points. So, healing would be appreciated.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, and Elka can heal you up. I believe he casted two. Yeah, I think he did two of them last time. So let me cast those. All right, and then let me give you heal. This will be... slightly better. So this is going to be 37
okay.
points That's of healing.
Nice.
It's not the same, but yeah, it's okay.
You need one more of those?
Wait, hold on. So 37, you said?
Yeah, 37.
Well, I was thinking, like, if Benson or something could do Lay on Hands, because then they can just take 10 minutes and...
Yeah, I was going to offer.
Okay.
So Benson, as he casts Lay on Hands, he just full-on decks you right in the face, and you don't get hurt, you actually feel healing.
That's how this works.
How much healing, by the way?
30.
Okay.
And you have +2 to your AC for the next 6 seconds.
This level 1 farmer is a actually level 10 assassin, probably.
He goes, damn it!
Well, that was my one chance.
That was my one opportunity.
With a tone of reluctance, Kezra sees this guy's foolish but courageous attempt at solving a problem, and he's like,
"Perhaps we can help you with your bond since we put the beast down. Shouldn't be too much of a difficult task for us."
What now?
Benson is slack-jawed in awe that Kezra is being generous.
Hey, this man, stupid as he is, tried to do something pretty clever. And, you know, I feel like it's the least we could do.
Benson tries to double-speak to Grimshaw. It's like, I don't think I trust him anymore.
He says it out loud.
It's just, you can't do that, so it just comes out like that.
But no, Benson's like, he's about to, like, object, be like, Kezra, this man might need a... What?
Would you say these creatures in this barn, are they, like, oppressing you in any way?
They did say something about, I don't know, vacation days are dumb, fair wage is a lie, I don't know.
We must kill them all.
There's no problem with the tipping system.
So, from what this guy was saying, these creatures, he said they were cat-like?
Yeah, he said they were cat-like.
Is there any way to possibly do a nature check on what
if you want to prod him for more information, he might be able to...
I will prod him.
Stick. Ow.
I hope we get to this barn and it's literally just filled with cats, and he's like, I'm really allergic.
I will die if I touch a cat.
Okay. 30, exactly.
Alright, so that was a 30 for your nature check. Mm-hmm. Alright, so... that is going to be a... that is going to be a success. So even with the negative from just hearing about it... one of the things that he talks about is that he's like, yeah, it's like... I mean, they're big cats or whatever. He goes, but you ever see a cat with, like, 8 legs?
Oh no.
Fuck this.
Oh no.
Everything about this.
That's like when Elk figures it out. He's just like, oh no.
I mean, we fought it in Sticky Business.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, you fought it in Sticky Business. So to explain all of the players' trauma from hearing this description, they fought an Orym Vorax in Sticky Business, and they fought one of them, and this guy is saying that there is multiple.
How many?
I think there's two, but there might be more than that, but I've only seen two at a time.
My foolish field hand left an open can of tuna in the barn, and now they're just everywhere.
I don't know where he got the can of tuna. We don't... we don't can things.
Right. With that check, is there anything I can get from that, by the way? Like the Orym Vorax?
Of course. So let me go into what Orym Voraxes are for people that are not familiar. Orym Voraxes are highly aggressive and territorial predators that sprint on 8 legs, using their terrific strength and iron-hard claws to dig through solid stone. They are cats, by the way. I want you to imagine your cat being able to dig through your stone floor. A typical Orym Vorax is only 3 feet long, but weighs more than 200 pounds, for its thick, sturdy bones are densely packed with muscle, making the creature very strong, but a notoriously poor swimmer. Ironic with all the legs. You know that they usually claim territories that span out for like a mile sometimes. So it looks like maybe these things had just held up in here, and then when these guys went to go tear down the barn and salvage it, it looks like it didn't work out so well.
So this guy got lucky twice. Because he could have got just shredded apart by these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. You want one thing from it, or you get one thing from it. Let's see. Do you want
lowest save? Maybe.
Mark. What do you want? Do you want lowest save? Lowest save would be their will save. You know that they are animals, so they generally have a low will save.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, was there any what he was talking about using smell in order to do anything with him? Was that just him talking out of his ass?
You think that with his knowledge of like felines and stuff like that, and the fact that they do have these things do have scent like cats, so not a terrible idea to bring something that is extremely smelly to, you know, stink something out. You don't know how well it would work, but the idea is not a bad one.
I mean, we have a giant smelly corpse.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking, that Elk will go out to it and wear like a bandana around his face and just try like cut a piece off of it or something. Like, I don't know. Like,
sure.
I mean, that's all I can think of. I was like, because what if we like put it in something, kind of like conceal it, and then throw it into the barn? And
I mean, there's also a good chance that they're going to smell us before we even get within 100 feet of the barn.
True.
So yeah, Benson will go help Elkwood with that.
Okay. Alright, so yeah, you can get back. Surprisingly, Kerrigan haven't showed up to eat the corpse yet. Weird. You don't know how long this thing's going to sit here, but you know it's going to smell for weeks, so...
Wait a second. How heavy was it?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
2,200 pounds.
Oh. Okay.
Can you do it?
We need to do the bulk conversion.
Yeah.
What if I cut off a part of it to make it lighter?
Oh, it's like cut off a leg or something like that?
Yeah.
He did say it was about a mile out, this barn, so.
Oh, it's a mile away.
Yeah.
How long does your spell last?
That was my question following that explanation.
It's sustained up to 1 minute, so that's too far for me to carry.
Well, as a bummer, I love the idea though.
No, here's the idea: we tie ropes around it, and we drag it, and we get to a point where we're about a minute out. And then he lifts it up, and he chucks it. Easy.
Okay, I could lift it onto a cart.
Yeah, I don't want to be a downer or anything, but unless we have, like, 6 draft horses somewhere that I'm not seeing, we are not pulling this thing anywhere.
Yeah. We are gods among men.
We are men among men. We happen to be exceptional, but we are men.
Okay.
You ever tried pulling the dead weight of an elephant?
I don't think 4 Arnold Schwarzeneggers could... pull an elephant, to be honest. So that's how we are.
Okay,
right now.
Fine. We're gonna get into rules. We're gonna get into dragging rules in Pathfinder, John. I know we can do it, but I will do the math. Well,
I can do 80 bulk with this thing, which is about 800 pounds.
With the hand?
With the telekinetic haul.
Yeah, right, okay.
If you're dragging something, treat its bulk as half. So it's only actually 1,000 pounds. So I can do the bulk conversion now.
That's silly.
it's just the rules. All right, so 10 pounds is one bulk. So 1,000 pounds divided by 10 is 100 bulk. Let's see.
If we were 4 super soldiers from the Marvel Universe, it would still be impressive if we could drag a fucking elephant.
I think it would be effective enough just to, like, cut hide off of this creature.
Oh, true. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
we plug our noses, cut hide off. If we just need the smell, that's all we need.
Yeah, like, probably the ass end of it probably is the worst part about it, so...
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, you're not entirely sure that this plan would work. You just know that he might have been onto something because these things do have scent.
Okay, I'll go cut its anus out, and we'll take that to the barn.
There we go.
Aye, let's do it.
he's just like, okay.
All right, going for the anus.
You got it, boss.
You got it.
Rangers. Am I right?
Yeah. All right. So you cut out the anus of this creature and put it into the bag of holding.
No,
oh, God.
We don't put it in there, goddamn
you bastard.
No, we get like a leather bag or some shit and dump it in there.
Halka has to carry it because he's the intern.
That's true.
Oh, goodness, oh, it smells so horrid. Oh, this
hey,
is...
Hey, you want to be an adventurer?
Oh. Is this our paperwork?
What? Oh, I'm dry heaving. I'm dry heaving. He does that for a mile.
He's a cleric. He's fine.
Timmy, before we go to the second half of this episode, I do want to know what's the qualifications for you guys dragging this thing?
Well, looking at the bulk rules, I came across this handy-dandy table has the bulk of creatures. So a huge creature is typically bulk 24, but it does say that the GM might adjust this number. So if we're sticking with 100 bulk for this creature, according to another source of bulk rules, you can't carry something that is more than your strength plus 10. So it's like we have like limit of like 14 bulk or something.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's like it says you can't hold or carry more than more bulk than 10 plus your strength modifier. But it doesn't necessarily say how much you could drag.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, all right. So it's a little ambiguous there, I guess, huh?
It is
GM discretion, I guess.
Yeah,
but I mean our solution's just as good.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be hilarious to see telekinetic hull.
I was very hopeful.
If it wasn't so far out, I would have absolutely allowed it.
It's like also one of the things where it's like ambiguous because what the rule book says a huge creature is typically around 24 bulk, right?
Yeah,
but this creature has a specific language that says it's 2,000 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think another podcast I heard got into an argument about this where it's like, well, it was like an elephant or something, like a common creature. And, like, they looked up, like, the real weight of an elephant in the world. But then, like, the book said it was, like, 10 times that. And they were like, that doesn't make any sense.
did they typo as a zero on the end of it or something?
Yeah, I think the weight that's in the bestiary sometimes is kind of strange. Relative to what the rules actually say.
We did just talk about a 200-pound, 3-foot cat.
That's very true.
That's true, yeah. Okay, so let's bring you guys over to the map today.
Did the description say that the Orm Vorax are 200 pounds?
Yes, it did.
They're 3 foot, 200 pounds.
They're like tiny creatures. Or small creatures.
but they're wicked swole, bro.
Yeah, they're small. They're small
creatures. They're like the size of a medium-sized dog.
Oh, I thought they were medium. Oh, jeez.
Nope, they're small, yeah.
They're dense little bastards.
Yeah, they're, like, I always thought they were more like honey badgers than anything else.
That's actually probably kind of close-ish.
Yeah.
Honey badgers, they're pretty small, but they're beefy dudes.
And vicious.
Badgers. I do, too. A badger is my favorite animal, so...
Whoa. Fun facts.
Fun facts about Jake. So let's get you guys over to the band.
Easy there, Marky Mark.
All right, Halka, give us that anus.
Give me the anus.
We'll take it from you here.
You guys approach a old rickety barn that looks like it is still in use. There are certain effects here that you can see were still used recently. Looks like some ash and some tools that look to still be in use. It looked like they're still being kept up and stuff like that. So it looks like this thing was just kind of getting to the end of it, and maybe they moved, and so they were just like waiting. Waiting to move this one last for whatever reason.
Okay.
So they're not planning on just burning it down, because that's what I was thinking of. Right? I was like, why don't you just burn it?
They're doing their best to salvage it. You would have learned that from the guy in town.
My John Deere tractor's lifetime still in there. Our lifetime supply of Oreos.
Twinkies probably in there too.
All right, so you guys approach the barn. It is, I would say it's about noon at this point in the day. What do you guys do? It's a very large barn. As I said, they were you know that this farm was doing livestock. So what would you guys like to do?
Well, first thing Benson is going to go is like, wait a minute. We just had one enormous fight not like an hour ago. Like, Kizra, are you good at spells?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
We all good for this? Good for another fight?
Yeah, because I don't think he used that many, to be honest.
Did I take any damage that last fight?
You took some.
Unless maybe it's the trample, but I don't know.
Yeah, either the trample, right?
Yeah, but then I think Halika healed you, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would have. And it took a while to get over here. I would have, you know, done my healing hands, lay on hands.
Yeah. Okay. Should I? Right, so, you want to pull the meat out, or should I just walk in there?
Well, no. Let's inspect the outside first to see
if there's like a nice hole to drop it in,
or like a window or something.
Is there a window can be tossed in?
There's no windows necessarily on the ground floor at least, but you can see that there's a few holes that if you wanted to jam this anus into one of the broken boards on the side of the barn,
you could do the hole.
Kezra will do so with Mage Hand.
Before you do that, Kel, should we buff at all, like stone skin?
Yeah, we can do that for y'all.
Thanks. Elk is going to move over into one of the trees.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Stealth.
Yeah, he'll give you haste, Elkwood, and he'll give, let's go Benson Enlarge and Grimshaw Stone Skin.
Jesus.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Give you some extra reach there, Benson, and give Grimshaw a little bit of toughness.
It's more than a little bit. That's a lot of toughness.
Alright, so wait, who got Enlarge?
I did.
Benson got Enlarge.
Help out his retributive strike range.
Mm-hmm. Oh, spell effect Enlarge. Hold on. There we go. Whoa. So Benson, I believe that the enlarge, because it affects you, you actually get on your character sheet, if you roll damage through that, it automatically calculates in the extra two.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Dude, the icon for in Foundry for enlarge is fucking intimidating.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
What is it?
Like the shadow demon.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got horns and stuff. It's just it's the same one for like something else. I don't know why they use that one in particular.
It's like the icon you use for the big bad evil guy.
Yeah. It's all ominous looking. It's like a silhouette. Okay, so Benson is enlarged. Everyone else has their other buffs, and then you
mage hand the anus into a hole.
Into a hole. All right, so you drop it in, and you hear. And you wait a few seconds, about 30 seconds, and you do hear something inside.
Kick it in, Benson.
Raffy.
All right. I just full on just blast my foot right through the door.
So there are two large barn doors, so if you would like, you can hit the doors on those and kick them bad boys open.
Yep.
As you kick them open, you can see what looks to be a bad scene. It looks like some of the pigs that they were looking to move probably sometime later, maybe just didn't find the time for it for whatever reason, appear to be dead.
Mm.
One of them is laying on its side in the center of the room with its guts splayed out. And you can see what sounds, or you can see what seems to be something on the other side of it, sort of digging into it. This looks like a scene from National Geographic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear that was actually the thing going, It sounds like it's just gnawing away at this thing. And I will reveal the creature to you.
Oh, he's so cute. Ah!
So the Ouroborax, the creature that you players are familiar with, is this small, big cat, I'll say. It's a small size, but it is a small size feline creature with eight legs, a nasty saber-toothed tiger maul, and thick brown fur covering its entire body.
This thing would fuck up probably like 10 lions.
They're like really muscular. Yes. They're like eight really muscular legs too. It's just a wall of legs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They're not spindly or anything.
No.
I think it's just funny, like opening the barn and you just see like a carnage, and then one little Ouroborax just
just way in the back.
You're like, it's like a boss fight, like in a video game. You're like, oh no.
Yeah. There's the one of my favorite things is the bell curve for Souls games, because it's like if it's your size or smaller, like early in the game, it's probably a pretty simple boss fight or a regular enemy. And the bigger it gets, it does get pretty hard. And then it comes back down, and if an enemy is your size towards the end of the game, that guy's going to fuck you up.
Yes.
So I would like everybody to roll initiative.
Can I use my kicking in of the door as an intimidation on my initiative?
Sure. That makes sense to me.
Yay!
Let me get everybody in here.
Thank goodness, because that was not the best roll.
Okay, let me go ahead and roll for them. Okay, Sir Benson, what is your initiative with Intimidate?
8 on the die for 28.
Alright. Elkwood.
I was rolling stealth since I'm outside.
Yep.
33.
Good. Kezra, what is yours?
Back to my old ways. 4 on the dice for 17.
Bummer.
This is what it is.
It is what it is. Let me roll Halicus. Halicus did... Okay. He did eight. And Grimshaw, what was yours?
Grimshaw is, like, snapping his finger, trying to get the Chrono Worm to appear. The Chrono Worm doesn't look like he's peering. And all of a sudden, you just see the Chrono Worm zippity-zip around Grimshaw, and you see Grimshaw's muscles become faster than time seems to allow, as he destabilizes his timeline, succeeds on the flat check, so that is a 33 for his initiative.
Oh!
Goddamn.
Okay. Okay, so you and Elkwood are tied. No, Elkwood always wins on a tie, that's right. Yep.
Elkwood always wins. Straight, I do.
Yeah, you do.
You can really tell that Benson was built like when Pathfinder first came out, second edition first came out, and then Tim built Grimshaw after all the fucking additions and expansions.
You just have to get your own Chrono Worm.
I guess.
Yeah, get your Chrono Worm.
Walmart.
No, are you kidding me? They're at Chrono Mart.
Chrono Mart.
There was a Chrono Raccoon, a Chrono Dog. I went with the worm.
They had a dog and a raccoon. You went with the worm?
Yeah, man.
That's all you could afford, alright?
I don't know why this popped into my head, but I think it'd be really funny if somebody's like Patronus was a worm.
Oh my gosh.
just a worm, just like.
Or just an earthworm.
Yeah, it's just. Oh, man.
What if it's fully earthworm, Jim?
Be like, he'll get there, I promise. So the Ouroborax that you guys see is actually going first here.
Oh, gosh, it is.
So it is going to, let's see, what kind of speed does it have? No, I don't think it's going to do that. So here is what it's going to do. It is going to start walking towards you guys, and very intimidatingly, and it is going to try and roar out, try to intimidate you all.
He's just standing there, menacingly.
So it is going to try and do this here.
It's so cute, though.
It is pretty cute. It does not have intimidate as a trained skill, but let's just see how bad this is.
He might be cute, but this motherfucker is an escaped government asset.
You know, that was a 16 on the die for a 16, so obviously a fail.
It thinks that it's people.
But that is this turn. It is going to try and call out and try to intimidate you as you have interrupted its lunch.
Oh, snap.
Oakwood, it is your turn. You are outside in a tree.
I'm just looking off into the distance and contemplating life. Oh yeah, there's a battle going on. He's going to take two actions since he's hasted, correct?
Yes.
Cool. So he is going to he'll be taking three actions basically to get over here.
To the front of the barn.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll stealth behind Benson. He's going to use Benson's body as a wall.
Fair enough. He is large.
And he'll see the Ornborax. Going to the bow's out. He's just going to take a shot.
All right.
So why not?
Small target.
Yeah.
Yep, I will say that he does have cover from Benson.
Yeah, but Benson, you're so thick. Get out of the way.
Clap my ass cheeks. He's alerting the Orm Vorax.
That's a 33 to hit. 33s, man.
That's a lot of those. So even with the cover, that is going to be a hit on this thing.
Ooh.
All right. Ooh, solid roll. Oh, my God. 33 damage.
What the fuck?
Well, interesting.
Elkwood's been an absolute unit lately.
No, I mean, this isn't going to show anything, but
Oh, nice.
I'm like, I rolled a 33. Stealth, 33. Attack roll, 33. Damage roll, 33.
I'd just be dropping the 33s tonight, boys.
There's a glitch in the Matrix.
Just keep I know,
it,
right?
Just keep it.
Just keep it going. It's advantageous.
We call that a feature.
Mark, is that the end of your turn? 33?
Yes.
33. What is your answer? 33.
I have 33 more actions.
If you're having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 33 problems, and damage is not one of them.
Wait, Mark, how old are you?
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. This is like that weird movie. What's it? The number 23.
The number 23.
What's happening?
Wait, Mark, are you actually 33?
Yes.
No. Freaking way. This is fucking creepy.
Wait, what's your house? What's your address?
No, we can't say that on there.
33.
Bleep it out.
What's your house number?
33 on 33rd row.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No. It's not that. It's extends not that. Only to rolls, apparently.
Oh.
In your age. All right.
But there are three digits in the house number.
Oh my god. All you guys are old.
And then you can divide the house number by three.
If you divide Mark's house number by 33.
Elkid, you hit this thing square in the shoulder with a solid arrow, and it calls out, "Wow!" Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Oh, man, it's so far away.
Run in there, man.
My chaps are cooled down from the previous battle, as is cannon. And I'm going to... I'm going to look to Benson as a free action. What's the move, Captain?
Well, I've got to get out of the... Well, I have to get out of this doorway so Elk can shoot it.
Big Benson.
Me, Benson. Me, big.
Tell me about the rabbits.
Well, I don't think this thing has any ranged attacks. We have an arrow caster and a spell caster. So I am going to raise my shield, and I'm going to ready an action that when it comes within striking range, I shall strike it.
I would like to point out that whenever I shoot my bow in the future, I will be referring to myself as an arrowcaster.
I was about to say something. I was like, an arrowcaster.
Yep.
Arrowcaster. That's what they're called. I don't know what you're talking about.
Arrowcast. Arrowcast.
The next time I make another gunslinger when I play Henry again, bulletcaster.
I was about to say, they're not called gunslingers, Jake. They're called bulletcasters.
Bulletcasters, yeah. All right, so you're ready in action, you said?
Yes.
I'm going to use my sixth chamber spell slot.
So the... You guys hear something up above you.
Oh,
as
no.
Out of the top window there that you see on typical barns, you hear a number of legs come going... as one of them jumps directly down in front, he can definitely make it behind Kezra and Elkwood as they are standing side by side.
Okay, you said there was no windows.
No windows on the ground floor.
Okay.
Well, sorry. Priorities just changed.
That's a little bit of semantics.
That really is. Hey, I want to throw through the windows. There's no windows. Oh, this thing just jumped through a window. Oh, it's on the second floor. Oh, you didn't say so.
Jake's like, yeah, no windows. Do me a favor and blow me.
But you meant those windows?
I thought you guys were looking for a first floor window. I apologize.
No, we're going to chuck it.
Alright, okay, let's just establish a standard. When we say we look for windows, it is all windows.
It is all windows. I understand. And Ornvorax jumps down. I mean, he could have jumped from the roof. Who cares? He jumps down, and he jumps behind Kezra and Elkwood.
Fuck!
And I will. So that was actually two actions to do that. So he's only going to be able to get off one strike on you, Elkwood.
Oh gosh!
Attack the meteor!
Attack the orb, please. So he's going to strike out with a jaw as he goes to bite you. It's going to be a 36 hit.
Yeah, it's not a crit though.
Whew. I only have 10 foot of reach, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 10 foot. Yeah.
Yeah. 23 points of slashing damage or piercing damage.
Whew.
Something chomps into your side.
Ow.
And I
couldn't see it from the window up there.
I said it was the roof. I changed it.
Uh-huh. So you're rewriting history, Jake?
I retconned it so I wasn't wrong.
Actually, there's no roof on this place.
Jake's like, I happen to be God. Fuck you.
So what's funny is I'm watching The Boys right now, and I don't know if you've watched that, but there's a lot of lying. A lot of lying in that and changing history. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm like, no, it's, I mean, no, it was on the roof.
This happened, and I will explain in a way that makes sense to you idiot brains.
Does it take fall damage? I'm just curious.
No, it would not. No.
A cat has cat fall?
I know, right?
I think it would be really funny if they made it so Ornvorax never land on their feet.
It's just too many feet. Too many feet, can't do it. Benson, it is your turn.
Benson, as a free action, will look down at Grimshaw and say, like, which one do you want?
We have to protect our allies. We kill the one close.
Yeah, but it might also be worth it to... you know what? This is too long for a free action.
Y'all just take your time with this free action conversation.
But I really think we should debate about this, Grimshaw. Just elk screaming in the background.
You're talking like an episode of Dragon Ball Z right now, all right?
Benson's going to power up to Super Saiyan 3. Benson is going to move up to where he can attack this thing.
You have reach, you don't have to get that close.
Yeah, but maybe he wants to give AC bonus to poor old Elkwood.
Yeah. I mean, technically, he still gets it from there.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, you could be 10 feet from it and still give your bonuses to Elkwood.
31 on the first attack.
31, that is a hit.
Yay, it's not like that stupid giant thing we fought that did AC of like 37.
Ugh.
I'm such a bitch. Alright.
What's going on over there?
15 points of damage.
Just say it
like that.
is he
John,
okay?
John, did you add the plus two for being large?
I did add the plus. Okay, in fact, believe it or not, Foundry actually adds it.
Whoa, Foundry? Yep. Foundry. Tell me more about Foundry VTT.
I refuse. I'm not being paid. next attack, plus 14. Smart. That's going to be a fat miss with a natural 5 on the die.
Alrighty. Okay. So, good. And as that. And as you look above Grimshaw, you can see that the second floor has some holes in it.
Some retconned windows. Now they're just holes.
No. I mean the floor above. As you look, like some of the floorboards themselves are broken, and you know, and they said they were going to tear this thing down. It makes sense why they would start to tear it down. Have you ever seen the ceiling cat meme?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh no.
That happens as a third one jumps down.
No.
Almost in front of you.
Oh shit.
Is this Captain Crunch's Oops All Norm Vorax? What's going on?
This one jumps down and then it will make its way over to you.
And I strike it!
And you strike it.
Because I was ready.
That's right, you readied an action for
a moment. But I was not ready because I got a 24.
That'd be a miss.
They're coming from the ceilings. They're coming from the roofs or windows. Undetermined. They're everywhere.
They're in the trees.
It's going to be a natural one.
Yay!
What's that? What's that meme? He's in the goddamn walls.
All right. I love me a nat one.
Caught your attack. This attack grants. And triggers a trip or shove as a reaction by your enemy.
Ooh. Does that mean I have to roll for it, though?
Yes.
Okay. it has...
It also consumes your reaction.
Well, I already used my reaction to do my... ready to action. So I don't get a reaction until my next turn.
Okay, so you don't do anything.
Dang.
You don't get to do anything, then.
No. Okay. It just misses. Big fat mess.
Big fat plump miss on the Ouroborax here.
But I look at that cat and I want to trip it so badly.
I like to think there was going to be a beautiful moment where he swung out with his paw and you grabbed it, and in that moment you taught him how to shake. Ooh. And there was a beautiful friendship that was formed.
Shakes with all four on the side. They rip your face off.
So it comes to Halika's turn. Halika, seeing this going on, how badly were you hurt with that hit there, Elkwood?
I got hit for... I'm not paying attention. No, I got hit... I think it was like 23 points of damage or something like that. I mean, I'm back down to... Yeah, it was like 23 or 26 points.
Okay, would that be enough for a heal for him? No, it wouldn't, because he already gets a plus 24 from his stuff, so... okay, so not enough for that yet. In which case, he is going to... He already cast Bless today.
Stay back.
I mean, if you say that, then...
Use a Guiding Lance and miss.
Does Sanctuary follow you by chance?
Sanctuary's on yourself.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like... Yeah, he wouldn't cast Sanctuary, though. he does have another spell, but it is a touch spell, and you just told him to stay back. He also doesn't want to ready... He'll just delay until somebody takes...
Touch the kitty.
I mean, I'll tell you what his focus spell is. His focus spell that he gets from being the cleric of Zonkazan is called Savor the Sting. It's a touch spell, which is why it stinks, but you inflict pain upon the target and revel in their anguish. This deals 3d4 mental damage and 3d4 persistent mental damage. That's already heightened, by the way.
That's not bad.
The target must attempt a will save. As long as the target is taking persistent damage from the spell, you get a plus one status bonus to attack rolls and skill checks against the target.
Oh, that's actually kind of a crazy spell.
Yeah. It's cool, yeah. It's kinda cool. And there's levels of success and failure. Failure is that. Critical failure is the target takes double initial and persistent damage.
Oh,
man, I'm going to be making a War Priest of Zonkuthan next.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. For this spell, yeah, it's a good one. So he will just delay until that happens. Until somebody takes significant damage. Kezra, it's your turn.
Kezra will delay.
He will delay as well. Are you delaying for anything specific, or are you just...
I'm just delaying until I see my moment.
Okay, gotcha. Alright, so back to the top of the round. Round two, the Orym Vorax that was in the center of the room that was eating the pig, it is going to use its actions to run up to you, Grimshaw. So it's got a land speed of that much.
Does the stench do anything at all?
I'll tell you, the one that was upstairs, it had smelled it and it was kind of looking down at it and it was sort of trying to inspect it. But it was on the second floor and it was looking down the hole at whatever that was. It was just the smell was keeping it away. But it was really, really curious about it. The other one down below, as you guys were perceiving, he was too into his meal.
Yeah. It's understandable. All
right. So, he had to use two actions to get over to you, Grimshaw, mm-hmm. but he is going to reach out with his jaws and try to bite into you.
Yeah.
That is going to be 28 to hit.
That's a miss.
It's a miss.
What's your AC since you have bonus from me right now?
33.
Well, remember, I think we looked into it. The only thing that they can get is they get the damage reduction from your shield. Yeah, so.
Oh, the AC bonus is not for adjacent?
No. So the only thing he can do is that if he shield blocks for you... You get the damage reduction from the shield, but you don't actually get like the AC bonus.
Oh, okay.
So I know it was a bummer when we were doing the level up. I read that and I was like, oh, it's not as cool as I thought. But still pretty cool. Elkwood, it's your turn.
Nope,
okay.
It's my turn. I'm taking my turn now. So Kezra, to all these Orvorax, suddenly looks imposing and large and dark as he casts fear on all three of them. They all roll will saves.
Gotcha. Alright, I will go closest to farthest. So the one that's closest to you, he gets a 22.
Fail.
Okay. Next one, these are the two that are in front of Grimshaw here. So going left to right, that will get a 37 total.
Just a success, so he'll be first one.
Just a success, okay. Alright. And then the second one got a natural 20 on that one, so he is unaffected.
All right, so the one close to me is frightened 2. The one that got success is frightened 1. And
got
then
it.
A natural 20. You bastard.
Yep. I know.
And
okay, so this
with my
one
last
gets
action, hit. I will cast Shield.
Okay. Alrighty then. Elkwood, now it is your turn.
Okay. So this thing jumps down. Chomps him right in his side, like, because leather armor doesn't do that much. Like, at this, he's like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
This second time in a row, I've been attacked! Why me? He's going to... See, there's... Since he's hasted, he can take an action. Okay, so what he's going to do is take an action to step twice using Elvish Step, and take two actions to hurl, like, quick draws the Eclipse out and takes a two action to hurl it at this thing.
Alrighty.
That would be a 38 to hit.
38 to hit, because it is frightened too, that is a critical hit.
Fuck. Yeah. Yes.
Blind that bitch. Shit.
Critical damage. 44 points of damage.
Oh my god.
From the eclipse.
Whew.
Yep.
I think Elkwood should be illegal.
The eclipse, I mean, there's nothing even game-breaking about that. Except the fact that this thing is blind now.
It is blind now. That is quite the predicament for it. It is blinded, which... You can't see all normal terrain. It's difficult for you. You can't detect anything using vision. I'll tell you, this thing is sense, so it's not entirely useless here. But
yeah.
You automatically critically fail perception checks that require you to be able to see, and your vision is your only precise sense. You take a -4 status penalty to perception checks. You're immune to visual effects and blinded, overized, dazzled. So,
question. With the overwhelming smell of the anus in the area, is their scent particularly useful right now?
I really like that. I will say that the anus has worked.
Yay!
The anus was successful.
The anus was successful.
Let's be honest, the anus always works.
Mission anus drop success.
If we're going to include an anus in a plan, it's going to work.
We shall call it Preparation Age.
I love it when a plan comes to an anus.
Is Preparation Anus going to be the
title? I don't know. Operation Preparation H sounds like a good one, though.
Might get sued by the company owns it. But now that he has one more action left, he is going to hurl it again, just by itself.
Right.
And plus 16, and he got a 32.
A 32, that
16
is
16 on die, so beautiful.
There you go.
This one, however, is 12 points of damage.
Okay. Chunking it again for a little bit more.
Yep, he is done.
And he's done. Grimshaw, it's your turn.
Okay, so because this thing in front of me is blind, is it flat-footed or not? I couldn't find anything on that.
It is not blind, the one that's in front of you. It is frightened.
The one below is the one that's blind.
Correct.
Hmm.
The one in front of you is frightened.
And that one's frightened as well. The one below is frightened as well.
Yep. Yeah. So the one that Elkwood just hit, that's the one that's frightened too and blind. The one that's in front of you, Grimshaw, is only frightened one.
Hmm.
And there's another one in front of you that has no status effects at all. So,
do you want to peer into Grimshaw's past?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Okay.
A what?
So, yeah. Alright, so... Here's the thing. Grimshaw hears a low thrumming in his head at this point. The thrumming seems to get louder and louder. The sound becomes deafening as we zoom in on Grimshaw's face, contorted in pain in this exact moment. His face gradually changes to ease, but the scene around him is different. We're no longer surrounded by the Ornvoraxes. Grimshaw is instead surrounded by orcs. They move as a group under the cover of the early dawn, silently moving across the rocky crags of the Manador Mountains. We see the group post up at several spots for several hours waiting for game, but none appearing. You can see the vexation of their faces as they argue amongst themselves. What are we going to do? We can't turn back empty-handed. Another barks. Let's split up. Grimshaw, take Garbath and Ugora up past there. As he points to an uncharted mountain peak. We will cover the rest of the usual spots and meet back here in 3 hours. The group responds with gruff grunts of affirmation and split up. As Grimshaw and his two hunting mates make their way over the small peak of the mountain, suddenly in the sky, a bright blue orb appears. It flits in and out of existence, every time getting closer and closer before crashing into the mountainside 20 feet from the group. The sound is horrifying. A loud thrumming accompanied by the screams of 1,000 voices that end in a cacophony of splintering rock. From the stone comes a blast of intense energy that washes over the three of them. Everyone and everything becomes frozen. York's faces contorted in a shout to take cover. Splintered rock hangs in the air. Everything is perfectly still, except for Grimshaw and a pulsing blue light in the center of the newly formed crater. Grimshaw, you feel a compulsion to approach the light as you do. It feels so familiar. The closer you get, the more this gnawing feeling in the back of your skull intensifies until you realize the light, it has always been there. Flashes of memories now become clear. Mundane moments in time where a twinkling blue light in the corner of your eye would appear. This unexplained twinkling light in the corner of your eye has been a good luck charm. Good fortune seemed to follow the light. Finding the abandoned building to live in Ridwan, the twinkling light. Befriending the group of kids, the twinkling light. Being captured by the shattered fang, the twinkling light. A good hunt, the light. A fight won, the light. It has always been there. But now, it's here. When you peer into the crater, you see that the orb has shattered into pieces. Pieces of blue, glass-like material scattered everywhere. In the center of the crater is a conical shard, twinkling with blue light. Before you consider what to do next, you are suddenly right next to it. The low thrumming sound resumes. You reach out your hand to touch the shard and become encased in the twinkling light. The thrumming now becomes deafening and your head begins to pound. You bring your hands to your head and tilt it backwards to scream in pain, just in time to see a gigantic worm made of white and blue twinkling stars open its maw and devour you. Instantly you wake on the ground, with your two hunting companions around you, looks of worry on their faces, which fade into sighs of relief. 1 minute we're walking around, and you're collapsed to the ground. I told Grongol that he has been pushing us too hard. Grimshaw shoots up in this moment.
You didn't see it?
Carbeth replies,
See what? The orb. The crater.
What are you talking about, Grimshaw? You're sounding like you have mountain madness. I told you, 1 minute we're walking along and the next you collapse.
But I... You're right, Carbeth. I probably just need some rest.
And right as you get up, Grimshaw, blackout. You wake up on the ground where your two hunting companions around you again. Looks of worry on their faces, which fade into sighs of relief.
1 minute, we're walking along, the next you're collapsing on the ground. I told Krongol that he's been pushing us too hard.
No.
Grimshaw replies.
No, wait, you already said that.
Said what?
What you just said.
As you try to stand up, you black out again. Over and over again, these few moments repeat again and again and again. No matter what you say or what you do, Grimshaw, you keep replaying this moment in time. The sequences blur. At first, you try to do anything to get away. One time, you try to jump up right away and start running, only to find yourself waking up again in about 30 seconds. Another time, you plead to the gods to release you from this temporal prison. After about the 50th time going through the sequence, you resolve to just sit and wait for the loop to start, wondering if this will be your existence. Then you see it, the twinkling light in the corner of your eye. You turn to see it, and the worm made of blue and white twinkling stars. Not gigantic and devouring, but near and small. You reach out your hand, and the worm swirls around it. You twist your hand in motions, not unlike an arcane caster, and you feel a rush of power through your body.
just as Carbeth finished saying. I told Krongol he has been pushing us too hard. You stand up, expecting to wake up again. But instead, Carbeth and Urgura are staring at you. Urgura, with a bit of worry returning to his face, says, You okay, Grimshaw?
Oh, yes. Never been better.
And I'll see you guys next week.
Spooky.
Well, there's that thing, like, from the beginning. Time, superpowers, and a drawback.
Right. There it is.
Time travel. Trapped in a loop.
Trapped in a loop.
Well, hello there, punchers. The holidays are upon us once again, and you know what that means. Time to buy some shiny click-clacks and math rocks for all your friends and family. And what a great place to do it over at greenleafgeek.com. That's right. If you go to greenleafgeek.com and use the code DragonPunchSquad at checkout, you will get a whole 10% off selected items. So make sure to buy this special thing for that special someone, and we will see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.